Welcome to Life, Lessons, and Laughter with your host, Glenn Ambrose.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the show, everybody. Let's bring on Aubrey.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello. Back again.
Hello. So here we are. And this one's recorded.
Yes.
Yes. I don't know why. That doesn't really change anything for us, but I said it anyway. So here we are. So today we are talking about, what are we talking about?
Today,
empowering questions.
Yes. Thank you.
No, thank you. empowering questions. Yeah. So it's, you know, I've like really what sparked this is I put a post out the other day and somebody commented that they really liked the question that I had in there. So, and I'll look for it as I explain. So they liked the question and the question was an empowering question. So, you know, the reason that I like to say stuff like that is because I've noticed that we're conditioned to ask ourselves disempowering questions. You know, we often ask ourselves like, why me? That's a, that's a textbook disempowering question. Yeah. Because inside the question is victim mentality.
Yeah.
Like nothing good comes out of that. Why me?
Yep.
Like, is there an answer that is going to make you feel good to that question?
Right.
You know, I'm just a loser. No, that doesn't feel good. Life's not fair. No, that doesn't feel like there's literally no answer to that question. That's going to empower you.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to make you feel good. That's going to move you towards the solution. You know, so what we need to do is continually move towards the solution, you know, instead of focusing on a problem is focusing on a solution. So I think I found it. Like, does this result in me living the life that I want? That was the question that I asked in the post. Does this result in me living the life that I want to live? You know, that's an empowering question. Because the focus is living the life that you want to live. And then you either get a yes or a no. If it's a no, then, you know, hopefully that registers as a bad thing.
Yeah.
and you go, maybe I should do something different, you know?
Right.
You know, and if you answer a yes, then that's a good thing. But you can, it's actually productive. You know, it does something when you start looking at things like that, you know, and you said that this is something that you bring into your yoga teaching.
Yeah. When we, you know, when I teach or if I take classes, it's a big theme, just because in the training with yoga, a big theme is letting go of what no longer serves you, you know? So when we do yoga, we're physically moving through the emotional body in a physical way. It's a great reminder. We do it a lot in like the hip opening poses and ones that kind of bring more emotion into it is to just see if there's something else you can let go of there. I say that a lot to my students because they'll try and run from the pain, you know, mentally. I don't even mean like run away from the physical pain.
Right. The emotional.
Yeah. The emotions flood in and you want to go anywhere but where you're at. It actually, have you ever seen Fight Club?
Yeah, but I.
There's this
a long, long time ago.
Yeah, there's this great scene with Edward Norton and Brad Pitt where Brad Pitt kisses Edward Norton's hand with acid. okay, or it's like lye or something, and it's burning his skin so bad, and he's screaming, and he's just like, oh my gosh, make it stop, make it stop, and it's just burning into his flesh. And they show clips from his brain going to all these happy memories, going to anything but where he's at. And Brad Pitt's screaming at him, and he's like, you need to stay with the pain. He's like, don't go anywhere. And you would see him go back, and he'd go somewhere, and he's like, nope, come back. Like, you got to pay attention. Wow. And he eventually just throws vinegar on it, and it neutralizes the burn. And he's like, that's how you work through your stuff. And it was a really cool scene. It stuck with me forever. And I think of that a lot when I do yoga or work spiritually, because we tend to want to run from that. And I see that a lot with people dealing with past trauma and stuff. They'll tend to remember happier things versus some of the negative things that impacted them, right?
Yeah, we romanticize the past.
Yes, yes. And so, yeah, that's, to me, that's a big thing, a big theme with let go of what no longer serves you, you know, what comes up. Because people, I'm like, think a little deeper. Maybe there's something else here that you can let go of.
Right. And that's it. That's, you know, that's a very empowering question. What can I let go of? Mm-hmm. Because that's really, you know, I say this a lot in spiritual terms, you know, spiritual terms imply non-action.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, it's almost the opposite of, you know, so letting go, like you know, you can't let go real hard.
Yeah.
Like you can't effort into letting go. You either let go or you don't.
Right.
You know, so it's, you know, that's it. So like a lot of spiritual terms are like that. Allow. You can't allow real hard. Forget. Remember. Like none of these things that you can put lots of effort towards. It doesn't. It actually, you do it worse when you put effort towards it.
Yeah.
You know, who sings that song? Who sings that song?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'll stop thinking about it and it'll come to me. Right.
Like a dream. Yeah.
Because the harder you try, the more you constrict and the less it works, you know? So this is, we have to open up the flow and allow things to go. We can't go in there and make them go, you know? So letting go is a big thing. It's very empowering to be like, you know, what do I need to let go of in this situation? Or, you know, who do I want to be?
Yeah.
You know, If I want to be a happy person, a happy, successful person, and I don't mean success in just the financial way, you know, total in a total encompassing way. Like if I want to be happy and successful, what do I need to let go of? What is holding me back from achieving true greatness? Mm-hmm. You know, what am I holding on to that's preventing me from really exploding and being who I want to be, you know? So this is, you know, that's one of the best ways I think to come at empowering questions is like, I consider it the back door because it's not the door people usually come in, yeah. You know, it bypasses the ego and it, you know, because usually the ego wants to, you know, convince you of a particular thing. But if you come in an unexpected direction, mm-hmm. it's usually not prepared for that.
Right. No, you're right. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, you know, what do I want to let go of? What do I need to know? You know, what is no longer serving me? You said, is a very good way to phrase that. If it's not serving me anymore, then I need to let it go and stop having it as part of my experience.
Yeah.
You know, and part of who I am.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of empowering questions. Like a big thing I see a lot is in conflict with people. And I see it with myself. If I'm having like not great emotions with someone or negative feelings or energy or vibe, and we're just not communicating right. And it's almost an argument, right? Or maybe it is an argument. I have to then ask myself in that moment, do I just want to be right? And if I do just want to be right, is it worth giving up this, right? Because I get to be right, and then I get to be alone and being right, and I get to celebrate with no one being right except myself. I get to have this great party about how I'm right, but it leaves me nothing.
Right. And it's so, right. You're right.
I get to wave the parade that I'm right, and we get to, you know, do all that, but it leaves me nothing in the relationship that I have with the person. So I think that's a big question.
Yeah, it's that's huge. Important.
Yeah. It's do huge, I care yeah. enough? You know, yeah. Is the relationship more important than my ego? I don't know.
And I think this is something that has expanded a lot. You know, I don't know when. Because we're already at the expanded state now. Yeah. I don't know when it started expanding. I don't know if it's been expanding for 30 years or if it just started 5 years ago or what, but it's certainly expanded in society now. Everybody is focused on being right.
Yeah.
They don't give a, they will, I mean, in the last 3 years, more people have cut off friendships, family relationships, everything because of external things going on in the world that technically doesn't even really affect them.
Right.
Like, you know, but they have to be right. I mean, people are polarized over politics. I mean, when I was a kid, it was rude to ask about politics. And it was very often that you heard like husbands and wives be like, oh yeah, you know, we vote differently. Mm-hmm. Just very matter of factly.
Yeah. You
know? Oh yeah, we, you know, husband and wives vote differently all the time. Now it'd end up in freaking divorce.
Yeah.
You know, if you back the wrong political party, how could you even be in the same household with somebody like that?
Yeah, it's caused in the past few years, it's like, you know, politics and getting locked in a room together.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I mean, it's just, it heightened all the problems, you know, so we can see them. So that, you know, so we're supposed to be, right. You know, when things get worse, everybody panics because they get worse. It's like, no, that's contrast. They're supposed to get worse. So, yeah. And then we're supposed to see them and then go, oh my God, this is out of control. I don't want to live like this anymore. And then choose something different. You know, a lot of people haven't quite gotten to that point yet, but this, you know, that is, you know, that's the adjustment that we need to be making, but it's all about being right. And it's, you know, I have to keep this on my radar because I can do it. Yeah. You know, I can still do it. It was how I grew up. Yeah. You know, my father is a very intelligent person and he had very intelligent ways of doing things. And he could explain it really well and all that. So basically he was always right. And I grew up in a household where he was always right, you know? Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, of course he wasn't always right, you know, but it was like that. I mean, you know, so some of those times he was actually wrong. I have to say it was probably pretty rare. I mean, because my main battle with my father was like, he was kind of right. And I would just do the wrong thing just to be the opposite of him, you know? So, I mean, you know, technically, yeah, he was right. But, you know, but he wasn't right with the way that I was feeling, you know, and I was going to go prove it, you know, just by rebelling against it, you know? So, but growing up in that atmosphere, I learned to do the same thing. And I remember arguing with somebody after, it was either before or after football practice. I remember we're in the locker room and I was arguing with somebody about something. And my friend that I grew up with, my best friend since we're like 4 years old, knew me my whole life. You know, we hung out my whole life. He was on the football team too. And somebody was like, Mike, tell Glenn that, you know, I'm right. And Mike looked at him and he goes, you're arguing with Glenn? And the guy goes, yeah, I guess I'm not getting involved. Good He's luck. Like, no, but I'm right. And, you know, tell him. And he goes, no. He goes, it doesn't matter. You cannot win an argument with Glenn. He's like, because what's going to happen is, let's just say you're right. What's going to happen is he'll keep talking and eventually he'll spin it around until he's saying what you're saying and you're saying what he's saying. I don't know how he does it, but that'll happen. And then he'll be right. He's like, so it's just, I learned a long time ago, not even to bother to argue with him. And I still remember that. And what was interesting about that, I had no idea that I was doing that. Zero. I had no idea. And to the, you know, I mean, this was in high school. Yeah. And this was, I still remember this. This was a profound moment in my life. It was a huge eye opener going, oh my God, I do that.
Yeah.
I am like, I'm always right.
Yeah.
And I will keep going until somebody dies, passes out, falls asleep, or I'm right. And I don't really care which.
You know, like, yeah. Yeah. You know, like whatever it means necessary is really.
Yeah. But I'm going to be right, you know, and I just, and I had no idea that I was doing it. And I try, you know, from that, you know, it, I remember processing that like days after. I would keep thinking about it and thinking of examples and going, oh my God, this is, I actually do that, you know? Yeah. And from that moment, I started pulling back. Mm. Now, I think it was still a decent part of my personality until I stopped drinking. I mean,
yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, there's nothing better to do than debate when you're drinking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, like, I've heard. So I've heard.
I could have gotten a gold medal, you know.
Yep. It was like the Olympics.
Yeah. But, yeah, but it's, you know, but, and then, so of course it's that part of my personality that I have to keep an eye on, and I'll still catch myself doing it every once in a while. I think I'm a lot better than I used to be.
Okay. Yeah. You'll slip into habits. Yeah. You know,
so
that's human, but, I think.
But that, you're right though. That's what it comes down to. You know, do you want to be happy or do you want to be right? Do you want to be peaceful or do you want to be right? Is the relationship that you're in with other people more important, or is you feeling right more important?
Yeah.
Because most stuff doesn't, that we talk about and argue about, doesn't really affect us the way we think it, you know, the way we act like it does.
Yeah.
You know, when we're arguing, we act like it's life or death or it's so important. And then we just go about our lives after that, you know?
Yeah, because I think it, you know, once the defenses go up, it's kind of like you kind of should cut the conversation, in my opinion, just because I don't think after defenses go up, it really is just an argument to be right. You're no longer dealing with logic. You're no longer dealing, like, it's just really, yeah.
Yeah, and you pick and choose. You pick and choose what information you use to prove your point. You know, and we do that in, you know, like people, I've explained this a lot of different times in a lot of different ways, but I think it's really important because, you know, we just talked about judgment. Like when you see people doing it, we tend to judge people. And one of the things, like if you see something rampant in society, you have to understand that we all do it.
Yeah.
That's why it's rampant in society. Society isn't a thing. It's made up of people and we're a person. So we're in it, you know, like, and maybe we don't do it as much or to an extreme as other people, but chances are we do it. And this is something that I notice people do not realize about themselves. Yeah. You know, when you really start understanding that people are just trying to be right and they pick and choose information, they're like, how can they do this? This is insanity. You can't just pick and choose information. It's like you do it every day. When you walk into a room, you know, like we're talking about this a little bit too earlier. Like when you walk into a room, like I noticed this when after I was welding for a few years, you start noticing different things. Like, so I welded for a while and then for many years thereafter, when I would go places that had steel around it or be around, like a bicycle, I would look at the welds on the bicycle. If I went into Walmart, they have big metal racks. I would look at the welds on the racks because I welded. So it just caught my attention. It was just something that I was used to looking at, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So most people obviously don't do that. Like this, but this is how we are. This is how our brain functions. Like what we do is there is like, I think, you know, and I've seen other people talk about this, there's like 30,000 bits of information that we're exposed to like every second. So we can't take it all in. So our brain just prioritizes And so we do it all the time. And like I, one of my friends back in Rhode Island cleaned houses, and she's like, it's weird because as soon as I walk into a house, the first thing I notice is the line between the ceiling and the wall, because that's some place that most people don't clean. So I can get a feel for how dirty that house is. And now it's such a habit that it's the first thing I do when I walk into a room.
Wow.
You know, and it's just, this is how we train our brains. And over years, we just get used to looking at certain things and just dismissing other things that are in reality. And we do it all the time, you know? So when you catch somebody doing it, you don't have to judge them and be like, oh my God, I can't believe we all do it. And if we're arguing and our defenses are up, forget about it.
Yeah.
We really do it.
Yeah. It's just closed off.
Because our brain is seeking things to back our point, yeah. You know, so I agree with you. I think, you know, once the defenses go up, this is why, like, raising my son, I learned, well, this was more one of the more extreme examples, but I try to do it in a lot of situations. I talk to people about sensitive conversations a lot. So I'm like, the first thing that you need to do is lower their defenses.
Yeah.
Let them know that this is not an attack on them. First off, you know, set your intention a lot of times. Like if you're going to talk to a family member, tell them why you're talking to them in the first place. The reason that you're talking to a family member about something that's sensitive is because you actually love them and you would like the relationship to be better than it is.
Yeah.
Not because you feel like stabbing them in the back of the neck. It's, you know, it's like... But if we're so used to defending ourselves in society that it's just people expect to be attacked. So yeah. to open up a sensitive conversation and say, listen, this is because I love you. And really my goal here is for us to be close because that's what I want, because that's how much you mean to me. Yeah. All of a sudden the defenses start going down.
Yeah.
You know, then you can transfer information and it actually might penetrate.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I completely agree with that. You're kind of like diffusing a bomb.
Right. Yeah. And then because, yeah, once you're gone, you might as well just stop and just be like, hey, let's, you know, so like with couples, a lot of times I tell them like, as soon as you have to make rules for fighting, you know, like no name calling, no swearing. And like either person can end the conversation at any time if it starts getting heated or they notice the other person get heated.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have that sense of safety that you can walk away if it's getting heated like that and then revisit it, you know,
because
otherwise it's just.
Yeah.
Nothing and good.
I think, yeah, definitely like reinforcing the unconditional love type of thing, you know, and creating that safe space where someone doesn't feel like they're the floor's going to fall out from under them.
Right.
Because you'll get a lot more likely of getting honest conversation too.
So how can I, like one of the questions that I ask and it's our empowering question is how do I make this person feel safe? Mm-hmm. You know, how can I make this person feel safe? How can I let this person know that I'm not here to attack them? You know, that's an empowering question.
Yeah. Very.
Yeah. So there.
I was a little introspective for a minute. I was like, huh.
Yeah, I did the same thing. The energy just went internal there for a second.
Very much. Like,
look at the pretty stars.
Right. The space between the stars.
Look at the space between the stars. Yes.
Yep.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, go watch the previous podcast.
Yeah.
Let's see. So I'm going to look at some of these other empowering questions because I looked up to give myself some because I don't walk around with a suitcase filled with these. What do you want your life to be about? You know, who do you want to be? That's a good one. You know, who do you want to be? You know, years ago, I did that. I literally wrote a list of, I think we talked about this before. I put a list of all the different characteristics that I want, that I found valuable in people, you know, mm-hmm. honesty, integrity, things like that. I was like, boy, you know, the ability to take a compliment, like these different things I put a list down and I kept it on my desk, you know, handy. And I, whenever I needed to make a decision, I would look at that list, read over it and go, what would that person do? You know, what would they do? What would a person like that do? And be like, oh, well, they would do this. And it's easier because it's not about you. Emotion clouds our vision. You know, what should I do? Motion floods in. And clouds our vision. So it's like, but as soon as we externalize it and pretend that we're talking about somebody else, you know, you can do this with any problem. It's, you know, just pretend one of your friends came and asked you the question. And then, you know, what would you tell them? It's a really good way to work through some of your own stuff.
Yeah.
But I would look at that and I'd be like, what would a person with these characteristics, what would they do in this situation? Oh, they would do this. And then I would do that. You know, and then after a few months, you know, I look at that list and I start reading it and I'm like, oh my God, I think I'm that person.
Yeah. That's cool.
When did that happen?
Yep. You just start acting through what that person is and you become that.
That's right.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
It is cool because it's like, you know, a lot of this stuff, when we talk about the work we do on ourselves, it seems so out there. You know, when you're not where you want to be, being someplace different seems so foreign. And, it, you know, sometimes it feels impossible and all this stuff. And that's a lot of times what keeps people stuck. So here's another empowering question. It's, what can I do where I am? You know, that's a question that I noticed that a lot of people don't ask, because a lot of people, you know, like they either, because me having my own business doing what I love, it brings up this conversation, or because a lot of people aren't doing what they love, it brings up this conversation. But I end up in this conversation a lot about, you know, how to do what you love for a living, mm-hmm. you know? And it's all like, usually when you start talking to somebody about it, they have a laundry list of why they can't, you know, like it can be, you know, I don't have any time. I don't have any money. I don't know where to begin. I'm not good on computers. Whatever, you know, it's endless. You know, the lists of why they can't, you know, but then what can they do at this time? You know, what can you, like, why could you do something? That's a question people don't ask themselves. They can answer why they can't, but then you look at them and go, well, why could you start your own business?
Yeah.
What do you mean? It's like, that's a problem.
Right.
You know, so you've literally spent all your time getting real deeply clear on why you can't do something, but you've never even contemplated why you could. You don't even understand the question.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, that reminds me a lot. I think I've heard this in your past podcast, but it reminds me a lot of picturing the best case scenario along with the worst case scenario, right? Like, this is, I'm not picturing both, but maybe, like, you know, you typically see the worst case and what could go wrong. And it's like, okay, well, what could go right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's asking two sides, you know, because if, you know, this is, that's actually a really good point, because like the reason it's helpful is it plays off of what we already do. You know, so sometimes coming up with things out of thin air is hard, but if it works off of what we're already doing, then it's kind of easier to remember and easier to do. So if we're used to, you know, asking ourselves why not, then starting to ask ourselves, well, why could it work? You know, that it's like remembering to look at both sides of the coin. Mm-hmm. We live in a world of yin and yang, you know, so whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're right.
Yeah. And I think people like to plan a lot too. And the thing is, we don't know anything.
People like to plan. Like, planning is good if you do it right. It's bad if you do it wrong.
Yeah.
You know, so planning is good when you understand that you can't actually plan. Like, you can't see into the future. And right. Every step you take makes you, it literally makes you a different person. Yeah. Like, do you think or look or act alike the same as you did when you were 3?
No.
Right. So you've changed. Yeah. So the way you think changes. Why? Yeah. Because of your experiences.
Yeah.
Right. You have more experiences. You've learned more. So everything changes because of your experiences. It's like that in the microcosm too. Everything changes instantly as soon as we do something. We become, now all of a sudden we have just a little bit more experience. Now we have just a little bit more knowledge. Now we have just a little bit more confidence. You know, what everything, it changes us every step we take. So if we're taking 10 steps towards something, we are literally interacting with reality in a different way at step 5 than we were at step 4. And this is the thing that people don't take into consideration. So they just stand at step 0 and they go, well, if I can't figure out how this is going to work out and how it's going to be in my favor and how everything's going to go and how I win in the end, then it's really not worth my time.
Yeah.
You can't. Like, nobody can do that. Literally nobody could ever, ever, ever do that in any situation ever, ever. So you're setting yourself up. Yeah. So it's big. Like, if you take people that are successful at building business, I like using business as an example, because like if somebody, like I have a friend that's really good at building businesses and he knows how to do it. Like, you know, if somebody's really good at building businesses, they can probably do it consistently. It's not just one flash in a pan here. There's a system. Right. They understand how things work and they're good at it. Right. Yeah. So it works consistently. So if it works consistently, then a person like that should be able to, you know, if unless you're clear on this point, they should be able to put together a plan, 10 steps, know exactly what they're going to do every time because they've done it multiple times. And mm-hmm. And even those people know that that's impossible.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as you go, you know, we live in an ever-changing reality, you know, so things change. Something that, you know, you're going to hit snags.
Yeah.
Something is going to go wrong and you're going to have to adjust your plan.
Yeah.
So a plan is just something hypothetical to follow. It's not actually concrete. You don't actually do it the way it's laid out.
Right. You know? It's almost a direction and you just have to stay flexible.
Exactly.
Creation, really. And knowing that, you know, yeah, just staying flexible.
Right. Yeah. So you make those adjustments as you go. And that's just in a reality-based thing. That's not even taking into consideration how you're going to be changing intellectually and emotionally on your journey too. You know, so you're going to be looking at things differently, you know. Also, like at step 0, you look at a problem, you go, oh my God, I couldn't even imagine how I could get around that. Then all of a sudden you take 5 steps and you're like, I feel empowered.
Yeah.
From these 5 steps, I'll find a freaking way, you know, and then all because you're different like that, you know. So so what can I do where I am? You know, in some situations, it's helpful to make a plan, but like you said, remain flexible. In some situations, you can't. You know, one of my favorite things to tell people is like most things nowadays, you need a website. Or at least a landing page, or at least a Facebook freaking business page, or you need something on the freaking computer that's accessible that has your information on it. You know, build that, because you can build it for free in your spare time. 6 minutes at a time, if you want. You can spend $15 or 99 cents on a domain name for the first year and lock it in. Do that. You know, build your landing page. Why? Because it's something. It's putting energy towards it. If we want something to expand, we need to put energy towards it. So what can I do now to put energy towards it? Anything. And we can find, you can always find something to do.
Yes, like an action step.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you do that. And then all of a sudden you go, oh, well, if I have a landing page, I guess I should, like, I have the name of the business, and I guess I should maybe come up with pricing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Or maybe I should have at least a couple sentences of about me. Good idea. Or maybe I should have something that says what the hell my business is. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
So as you create what you're writing about what your business is, you get clearer about what your business is in your head.
Right.
You know, or you don't know what your business is. Okay, well, I think it might be something to do with this. And then as you're writing it, you go, oh my, wow, that actually sounds good. Or no, I'm heading in the wrong direction. What I really would like to do is something more like this. Yeah. And you figure it out as you're putting energy towards it, you know?
Yeah.
So as you're taking that action steps, it's actually creating itself.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think there's like small, I like that. I like the idea of taking small steps like that are manageable. I don't know how like cohesive this is. I heard this a little while ago that someone, I don't know who said it. It was just a conversation, but the idea that taking on a commitment that you don't know if you're going to be able to take on, kind of thing. Like you just make a power move, like, and you don't know how it's going to turn out and you don't really, you know what I mean? Just trusting and taking that power move and taking on a commitment or something that feels a little bit big and like, ooh, I don't know if I can do that, and taking it on. And through completing the commitment, you're like building the character that you need to be who you want to be through doing that. It was just interesting because I've heard that. And then what you're mentioning is just like very manageable, which I think is just like a great first step for a lot of people that don't have any idea where to begin. Like,
right. It's you know, just start, just do something.
Cause you can wrap your brain around, I can wrap my brain around that. You know, you can explain that, but anything more, I think can get a little overwhelming.
Right. Yeah. In the beginning, and some people, you know, it depends on your personality and where you are. I mean, that power move is great because it's like, you know, the most exciting, well, I don't know if exciting is the right word, but the most profound moments in our life really are when there's a mixture of excitement and fear.
Mm.
You know, like that's what we're looking for.
Yeah.
That's the best, man. You know, like now, granted, not everybody's ready to dive into that. So you just go take a small step and that's fine too. But at some point, if you can get to a place where you're excited and scared at the same time, that's the best, because that means you're stretching. Your excitement is your soul coming alive. That's where the excitement is coming from. It's our guidance system that's letting us know that this is, oh my God, what if it worked out? Oh my God, you know, what if I actually do that? Like, that is feeding your soul, man. That's the shit right there. So that's what needs to lead us. And then the fear says, I'm not comfortable, so I need to stretch to achieve this. I need to be more than I am right now to be able to achieve that, to be able to do that. So that's the combination. It's the excitement with the fear. Oh crap, I got to stretch, and but this is going to feed my soul. You know, that's really the power move. That when you get that, man, kick yourself in the ass, go to a freaking Tony Robbins weekend or something and get your ass moving forward, because that's the stuff right there.
You know? Love that.
That's when your life changes, you know. But in the meantime, it's like most people stay stuck because it, like, if something isn't getting done in your life that you want to get done, whether it be start a business or cleaning the bathroom, I don't give a crap what it is. If something, you have something that you want to accomplish and for some reason it's just not getting accomplished, 99% of the time it's because it's too big.
Yeah.
And what we do is we, instead of just accepting that it's too big and cutting it down smaller, we start saying like, oh, we start taking a disempowering move. Well, I should be able to just clean my bathroom. I mean, normal people just clean their bathroom. I mean, I should be able to motivate myself to clean the bathroom. And we disempower ourselves and judge ourselves, you know, instead of saying, okay, well, it's not getting done. Fact. Just stick to the facts. Let go of the judgment. It's not getting done. Well, maybe, usually that means it's too big. So what if I just clean the sink? That's it. Just the sink. Okay. Does that sound reasonable? Or that you might think of the sink and you might go, oh, I don't want to do that either. Okay. The sink's too big. Could you take the cleaning stuff under where the cleaning stuff is and put it in the bathroom? Could you do that? Yeah, I can do that. Okay, then do that. And people won't do that because they think it's silly. It's not silly. It's a victory. It's a small victory. You feel better about yourself. I did something towards my goal. Yay me. Even if you don't say that in your head, that's what your body feels. Your body gives a positive feedback whenever you do something positive. It gives you natural, it releases endorphins, whether you know it or not, even if it's minimal. Okay, you got that little thing in there. Okay, now what? Can you clean the sink? No, but I could put it on the back of the sink. Okay, cool. Put it on the back of the sink. Like, there is no step too small. Stop judging it and just find what you can do where you are, you know, and then build, then all of a sudden your confidence builds and it's not so daunting. Part of the reason is just because you just prove to yourself that you can, it could take you 6 months to clean that bathroom and you would, but at least you know you'd do it. You start believing that you're actually going to accomplish it. And then all those psychological blocks that were blocking you from doing it, they start falling away. Then all of a sudden one day you go like, woo, I'm actually enjoying this. And you clean the whole damn thing. Even that, and all you planned to do was the sink, but you just fell into a pocket and you clean the whole thing, you know, or you don't, but you get it done 6 months later. Either way, it's a win.
Yeah. It's manageable though.
Yeah.
Taking steps in the right direction. I like that a lot.
Yeah. So we got to find out what we can, you know, it's all about empowering ourselves. This is what I always land in when I'm talking about spirituality. It's the most empowering thing there is. You know, everything you look at in spirituality is about empowerment. It aligns you with your own power, which feels good.
Yeah.
With your own capabilities to manage your own life. Then all of a sudden you don't feel... I think the biggest one is taking responsibility for your life.
Yeah.
You know, not, we are the biggest society of victims that's ever existed on the planet. Nothing is our fault, especially my generation. We're the worst. Nothing is our fault, you know? And it's just like, it, you know, well, it's the government's fault. It's somebody's taking Christ out of Christmas. How the hell is that even possible? You know, like, we blame everything. My job is stressful. No, it's not. It's the way you're processing your job. people don't treat me right. That's because you don't know how to set boundaries. Take responsibility for your life. Mm. You know, it's we're too busy pointing the finger at everybody else. This is what we talked about with the call out culture. You know, we're pointing the finger at everybody else, figuring out what they're doing wrong, when meanwhile we're part of a dysfunctional society that's living dysfunctionally. Mm. It's like point the fingers in and just, you know, ask yourself empowering questions. Find out what you want and how you can achieve it. Mm. And then do that.
Yeah. Because without the, if you don't know what direction you're going, you're going to end up with no direction. You know?
Yeah. So, yeah. And that's, yeah. You know, that, it's funny. Mm-hmm. Bill mentioned Zig Ziglar in our last podcast. And it was like, when I first started my business, I put this Zig Ziglar quote, who Zig Ziglar's like not spiritual. He's not a spiritual teacher, but it's all the birthplace of self-help was all business oriented stuff. It's all self-help, positive mentality. And one of his quotes is, lack of direction, not lack of time, is the problem. We all have 24-hour days. Mm-hmm. You know, so, and that is the problem. It's like, and it's, I've used that, and you know, my philosophy is just slightly different, but it means the same thing. Like I look at, if I'm looking at something and I'm going like, I don't see how I could do this, I'd stop and I go, well, did somebody do it? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Then are they a person? Yep. Am I a person? Yep. Did they know what they were doing when they started? Nope. Do I know what I'm doing when I'm starting? Nope. Okay. So we're the same.
Right. If someone else
did it. Yeah. We're starting from the same freaking place.
Yeah.
I'm just at the starting place. You know, that's a misconception. People think that, and it's all unconscious, because when you say it out loud, it's ridiculous. But people think, because people walk around, they go, like writing books is a good example. People like, oh, I don't know the first thing to how to write a book. Like that's a legitimate argument for not writing a book.
Right.
It's like nobody knew how to write. Nobody has ever known how to write a book before they wrote a book. Ever. Like.
Yeah.
You know, and it goes like that with everything. Nobody knew how to climb a mountain before they climbed a mountain. Nobody knew how to start a business. Nobody knew how to raise a kid. Nobody knew how to golf. Nobody knew, like, you can do with anything.
Everything. Yeah.
Nobody knew how to walk. Like,
we don't know. Yeah. No. Yeah.
You're always not knowing at the beginning. Yeah. That's the beginning. That's, you're supposed to not know in the beginning. If you already knew, you'd be, I don't know what the hell you'd be. You wouldn't be human. Right. So, but subconsciously, people actually use that to keep themselves stuck. Mm. Well, I wouldn't even know where to begin. Right. Google where to begin. Duh. You know.
Yeah. It's, yeah, make us start researching, start, you know.
It was like 50, you know, some people don't, I don't know if I talk about the other things that I did before I started this business that often. It, like, I mean, I talk about my jobs because, you know, for reasons, but like I started a business trying to, I knew I wanted to do something with spirituality, but I didn't know what. So like I was into reading and watching movies and listening to audios a lot back at that stage of my life. So I created a website selling spiritual books and videos and audio.
That's cool.
And back then it was just like, you know, I didn't know what to do. And somebody said, hey, I've got this software that you can set up a online store. I was like, oh, okay. He's like, yeah. He's like, I can give you the software. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, I can show you how to do it and everything. All right, cool. So he gives me the software and then he disappears. Gone. I couldn't get in touch with him again. Wow. So now I had the software and this idea and I had to figure out how to do it.
Wow.
So, and this was 15 years ago. So like I was, you know, it was like, oh, embed HTML code. And I'm like, what's HTML code? You know? So that's what I did. I literally Googled, what is HTML code? And then I read it, and did I understand it fully? No, but I had a vague idea. I'm like, okay, it's some code that you put in between a greater than and a less than sign, and it tells the computer to do something. Okay. All right, embed it. How the hell would I embed? What is embedding? So I Googled, how do you embed HTML code?
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then I went in and then I searched in the software, like a spot that looked like the freaking thing on the computer. And I copy and pasted it.
And
it worked.
There you go.
You know, and I did that with everything. I did that with the postal service generating shipping costs in real time. I did that and I created this whole website.
That's amazing.
Then I found out, creating a website is all well and good, but if nobody goes to it, you don't really sell anything.
Yeah.
And Amazon is pretty good competition. So, it ended up after a while, you know, it just folded. But whatever, I did that. I started a personal training, a group coaching business. I started it. I couldn't get a location. So I started it in the summertime in Roger Williams Park out in Rhode Island to do outdoor group fitness coaching, because I knew the fitness industry. So I did these things, but I didn't know what the hell I was doing.
Right.
You know,
just hoping for the best, you know, trying to learn. That's,
and they didn't work.
No expectation, because you just thought you didn't know what you were doing, probably.
Yeah, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm going to do something. Yeah. I'm not going to sit here, you know. So I built two businesses from scratch that failed in, you know, probably, I don't know, in a 5-year period or something. Wow. But I didn't like my job. I knew that I didn't like working for people. Yeah. So I wanted to create something, you know, something that helped people in some sort of freaking way.
Right.
So I, you know.
Yeah.
So I tried.
Yeah.
You know, people think it's like some fairy tale that like I woke up spiritually and then all of a sudden I started a life coaching business and the rest is history. You know, it's like, no, man.
No, there's stairs, there's levels.
It was like 10 years between my initial awakening and when I started my business.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a bunch of stuff going on in there.
Yeah.
And a lot of failure.
Yeah.
But when I started this business, if I asked myself disempowering questions, it would be like, well, why should I start a business? I mean, it's probably going to fail like the last two failed. Mm-hmm. You know, I could have, if I, but I, that like, no, that, that's not how, that's not the questions I was asking myself. It was more, you know, what's going to bring me joy? What would I like my life to look like in the future?
Yeah.
Let's work towards that, doing anything humanly possible where I'm at, you know, with sole custody of a 12-year-old. Yeah. Now what?
Right.
How do I get there? You know, what can I do now? And I just did that, you know. So it's the mindset. I saw somebody sent me a video or posted a video or something about Gary Vee talking about this. Mm-hmm. And he said something like, you know, like we've all had our childhood experiences. And if we look at our childhood experiences and say, well, I can never do anything because of that, you're screwed. Right then, you're done. Like that just blocks you from everything. But like that, he said what he chose to do was look at his childhood experiences and say, yeah, I had those experiences and I could use those as an excuse to not do anything, or I could look at the other option.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, there's literally billions of examples of people who have had difficult upbringings that have lived incredible lives all throughout history, since the beginning of time. There's billions of people that have done that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter, it's just a choice. You know, are you going to look at it and say, well, no, I had difficult childhood experiences, so that's my reason for doing nothing? Or are you going to look at it and say, you know, no, because other people did nothing that had difficult childhoods.
Right.
And are you going to choose that? Or are you going to choose the people who actually did something with their lives and do what they did, or use them as an example, or use them as hope? Hey, they did it. Maybe I can do it.
Yeah.
And try, you know, yeah. But if you just choose, and that's not just childhood experiences, that's everything. You know, yeah. Oh, I'm 50 years old. I can't do it now. I'm 70 years old. I can't do it now. You know, or so you can use your age. You can use your sex. You can use your sexual orientation. You can use your upbringing. You can use your husband. You can use your wife. You can use your, you name it. It can be an excuse.
Yeah. There's always an excuse to not do something.
Your busyness level. Mm-hmm. You know, like when I started my business, my son had just moved in. So I was full time, and his mom stepped out. So I was full time solo caregiver. My son was playing tons of soccer at that time. He was like on three teams at one point, driving all over New England. And I was starting my business, and I was collecting food stamps and heating assistance. I couldn't pay my bills. I was leaning on credit cards. You know, it's not, I didn't have any silver spoon. So I started, what can I do?
Yeah.
Well, I could start a crowdfunding thing. I didn't know anything about starting a crowdfunding thing, but I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I reached out, and luckily enough, you know, some friends and family members made some donations, and I ended up raising, I think, like $1,500.
Wow.
And that was enough to allow me to get a third hand beat to shit multi-station exercise thing for like $300 that I put in there so I could do some personal training, and $300 for some dumbbells that you can change the weight on. I didn't have that much room,
Wow.
And a bench and a TV for spiritual cinema for my events for like $300 on Black Friday at Walmart, and a couch and a chair so I could do life coaching that the guy who owned the house upstairs that I was renting sold me for $70 along with a bookshelf because he didn't want to move it.
Wow.
You know? So,
yeah, there's a way it happened.
And I got like 26 chairs on Craigslist for like $150 for events.
Wow.
And a desk that my cousin gave me when I was helping her clean out her cellar. I mean, but that's how I started my business.
Yeah. It's you do what you got to do. You're going to exercise resources and get creative and just not let excuses creep in and stop you from going to where you want to go.
Right. And ask yourself those empowering questions and, hey, can I do this? Can I do that?
Yeah.
Oh,
check in with yourself.
And I just looked. We're recording this. We got to fly. We're at an hour.
Oh,
all right. That's it, everybody.
That's
we're
good.
Done.
My laptop is on like 8%. So I was like, we're almost there. It's okay.
Thanks, everybody. Talk soon. Everyone.
Looking for more? Check out over 200 episodes of Life Lessons and Laughter, or click the link in the description of this episode to connect with Glenn directly.